Lord God, help us to listen to your word with understanding, to receive it with faith, and to obey it with courage, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Had an interesting conversation just this morning with a woman in between services. I didn't even tell her what I was preaching about this morning, but she shared that she had worked for years to forgive her mother. It was tough growing up, and there was no love lost between them. She said she's now at peace, and she's been set free from anger and bitterness, but it took a long time, and it took a lot of hard work, a lot of prayer. Now she's free of it. She said, at one point, I tried to hang on to the last little bit, because it was righteous anger, some of it, but she eventually had to let it go. Honor your parents in the fifth commandment can be very difficult for a follower of Jesus. It doesn't come easily often. That word honor in the fifth commandment means to treat someone with the proper respect that's due to them, to their role as well. This goes beyond parents, but we're talking about parents this morning. And when we honor our parents, we treat them with respect. And especially when we're children, we defer to them. It means as we get older, as they get older, we provide for them in their old age. It all seems pretty straightforward and has very practical implications. When we do this, when it's operating as it should, our homes should have a peace and an order that actually help us thrive. We know it doesn't always work that way, but that's how it should work. In this way, the fifth commandment operates like the other commandments. It gives us a framework for holy living, living well in a family. And like the other commandments, this is part of this framework that is actually meant to help us flourish as God's people. The commandments keep us close to God. They teach us how to follow Christ, to be obedient. And it really helps to keep our disobedience in check and under control. This fifth commandment has very practical implications for how we live in our families day to day, also how we care for our parents as they age. There's a deeper story here that touches on the spiritual subject of God's mercy and His grace. How does this fifth commandment capture God's mercy and grace, which is the deeper story? I really want to make one point this morning about honoring parents. Typically, if I have 3 points in a sermon, you can be forgiven for not remembering all three. Not many excuses this morning because there's only one point. The point is this. I guess maybe there might be some sub-points. But here's the point. When we honor our parents, we show a holy submission that actually brings glory to God. When we honor our parents, we actually bring glory to God by how we submit to our parents. Honoring our parents shows holy submission. That word submission can be a very tough word. Nowadays, taken usually in a very negative way, the word honor itself really isn't used all that much. What would be a modern word that would be used instead? Probably the word dignity. We hear that word all the time, the word dignity. But that is a different thing. Honor has a certain odor about it. For many modern people, it kind of smells of control, authority, and maybe power. We don't like these words. We don't like them mainly because we've seen how these words have been abused. People in authority have abused their position, and people have been hurt. It doesn't just touch modern people. We go back to Genesis, Adam and Eve, and we see that they didn't like the words either. They rebelled against God's authority. God had set himself up as the center of their lives. And they said, well, we think we'll choose another way. They were really craving personal freedom. They wanted to choose their own way, and they really thought that by choosing their own way, they were going to get something better. Well, it didn't turn out that way. This morning, if you hear the negative sound of control and if you sense a loss of freedom in the fifth commandment, remember something, that the commandments and the fifth commandment, they're a framework for holy living. They're actually given so that we'll thrive within God's boundary of blessing. This is about living within the boundary of blessing, not outside, because outside, it's all about personal choice. It's all about personal freedom. And that so easily becomes mixed up with what I want, the tyranny of the individual. The fifth commandment is a blessing, even as it commands us to honor and submit to our parents. As we submit to our parents and as we honor them as our parents, we're doing something very important. We're actually showing others what holy submission looks like. We're showing them what it looks like and why it's important. We're putting a face on the thing called submission. It's not a theory. We're actually living it. And it's submission to our parents out of love. More broadly, it's out of obedience to God, the one who calls us to do this. Let's not pretend that this holy submission is easy or even something we always want to do. I think we need to acknowledge that. But let's agree, I hope, that the fifth commandment isn't given as a fifth option. It's a commandment, so God must be serious about us doing this, and he must have a reason. Honoring your parents. When you're a child, that means something, doesn't it? It means generally that you really don't have much say in the matter. You obey them, and you generally follow the rules of the house. Now, I say generally because many of us, when we were kids, we tried to get around the rules or at least bend them to the point where they didn't break, but we had a little bit of wiggle room in there. At the end of the day, if there were clear rules in the house, you knew what they were. You may not have always liked them or always obeyed them, but they were there, and you were aware that they were there. I well remember pushing the boundaries with my mom, especially when I was a teenager. I knew I'd come to the last argument and my last gasp when she pulled out the classic line. And I'd say, "Why do I need to do that?" And she would said, "Because I'm your mother." And that was the signal. Give it up. Give it up, Robbie. Give it up. I was okay with that, actually, because she'd listened to me, and I'd done my best. I tried to push it. Ultimately, I respected her authority. Plus, I knew that if I didn't, I'd have to face the higher authority of my dad. This is in the days of spanking, right? So, okay. Honoring your parents as an adult takes on a little different flavor. That's a different look and feel. It means really looking after them as they age, providing for their care. This holy submission takes on a different quality because as an adult, you can actually choose your level of involvement. You can move to the other side of the country. You actually don't have to be there to do certain things. You have freedom, the kind of freedom you didn't have as a child. As an adult, if your mom or dad says, "Because I'm your mother," you actually have a say in the matter. You have freedom to choose your own way. Holy submission requires us to honor our parents as actually the ones God chose to bring us into the world. God actually chose our parents for us and chose us as our parents' children. If we read Scripture in its plain, honest sense, we will accept that God knew us before we were formed in the womb. That's what it says. That must mean that he chose to bring us into this world through our parents. We're not an accident. We're not born into a particular family by accident. There's a reason why you were born to your parents. That says something important, that our family of origin wasn't an accident. Sometimes we may wish that we'd been born into the house next door. There's no question about that. Many of us, when we were growing up, sometimes for childish reasons, but sometimes for very good reasons, we think, gosh, I really would have liked to have been born with those people as my parents. That's not a choice we get to make. We don't get to choose who our parents are. This, of course, raises immediate problems for some because they were born into troubled homes, chaotic homes, and abusive families. Their parents let them down. And they were probably let down by their own parents, and they've carried on that tradition. They've ignored the plain teaching of Scripture and the will of God by not loving and caring for the children God blessed them with, and it's tragic. If that's your experience, honoring your father and mother has likely been difficult. I hope you're at the point, like the woman I had a conversation with this morning, where you're actually at the point where you can forgive, and you have forgiven. But if not, it's something to keep working at. It may be something you really don't want to do, and you can't imagine how you'll ever be able to do it. But keep in mind here that there's a bigger story than just how we experienced our parents. There's a much deeper narrative here. Whatever your experience of childhood was, there's no denying that without your parents, you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't be sitting here today. So your parents were necessary. When God commands us to honor our father and mother, we simply honor them because God commands us to. That's a very difficult move, but a very crucial move for someone who's going to follow Christ, because it raises these questions. Will I submit to God? Will I submit to the plain teaching and authority of His Word? Will I trust that there's a reason and a purpose for the fifth commandment? Will I believe what Paul says in Romans 8:28? We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Paul doesn't say there in Romans that all things are good, not at all. We know that some family situations are far from good, but he says that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. That means that a painful home life isn't a gift sent by God. It's not a good thing, but it says that God will work in the painful home to bring His blessing, His healing, and His transformation in the heart of the one who loves Him. When we choose to honor our parents, we choose God's way, and it's the way of holy submission. And this is His good and holy will for us, even in very challenging situations. I mean, doesn't this touch our life in other ways as well? We're under the authority of earthly leaders and officials. You know, we have to recognize that. Even in church, I'm under the authority of the bishop. As the rector here, the pastor, I have a certain authority in this church. We are all people living under authority. This doesn't mean that if you are part currently of an unhealthy and abusive family that you enjoy it or that you should stick around and simply suck it up. Sometimes when we're old enough, we should get out and not put up with it. Sometimes the sooner we leave, the better. One of the challenges here with Commandment 5 is that we're really called to honor even the bad parents. The good parents are very easy to honor. That's a delight and a joy. The bad parents, that's another story. With the lousy parents, we're not called to pretend that they were great parents. We're not even called to pretend that we have a loving relationship with them. So we shouldn't gloss over hardships. We shouldn't, as Christians, sweep it under the rug and say, everything's fine, I'm fine. No, there's real pain there for some people. There might be a permanent distance always because of what happened in childhood. But we're still commanded to honor them as our parents. That's where it gets difficult. When you had a troubled relationship with your parents, or you still have a troubled relationship with your folks, then this fifth commandment leads you into very uncomfortable territory. This is territory where those childhood memories can come out. Even at 54 years old, a childhood memory can come back, and all of a sudden I feel like a five-year-old again. That's the power of that memory. It's the same territory Jesus went into when he taught his followers to forgive their enemies, to bless those who curse them. Do we really want to do that? Do we feel like that? No. But the Lord commands us to. And because he commands us to, there's a reason and a purpose. And it's not something we might understand. It's not usually something we even want to do. But we do it because, again, we're obedient to the Lord and we submit to him. When we follow the fifth commandment, we're putting holy submission into practice. And we find something truly powerful and miraculous. This is the kind of submission Jesus embraced. This is what he modeled for us. This is how he transforms commandment number 5. He submitted to his Father. He submitted to the Father, our Father, the Father who's the epitome of love and mercy. I have to say in Scripture, there are some images of feminine qualities of God as well. But primarily, God has revealed himself as Father. This is the Father who's the epitome of love and mercy. Jesus submitted knowing that he was going to die on a cross for disobedient people like us who, guess what we did? We continually dishonored his Father. Yet he submitted to his Father. As the Son, he knew that these disobedient children would reject him. Even as he healed and fed and blessed, he knew that he was healing, feeding, and blessing disobedient people. These disobedient people would continue to break God's holy commandments. With the cross in plain view, he still submitted to his Father's will. We have that delightful story in Luke chapter 2 of Jesus as a small boy, 12 years old, in the temple in Jerusalem. Staying behind, his parents are a day or two away and worried sick. They come back and admonish him, "Son, how could you treat us this way?" It says here, Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. He honored them by submitting to them. We remember that Jesus was perfectly at home in that temple in Jerusalem. This was his Father's house. But because he kept the commandments perfectly, he honored Mary and Joseph by leaving the temple and going back to Nazareth. It's not really that different than his leaving the Father's side in heaven and taking on human flesh. He honored the Father by doing his will. When we submit to our parents on earth, we're modeling the submission of Christ. Our submission to parents, especially bad parents, that points beyond us. It points beyond what we're doing to that holy submission of the Lord Jesus, the one who submitted to his Father for the sake of disobedient people like us. Truly remarkable. Makes us sit back and wonder and say, the Lord Jesus did that for me. Like bad parents who dishonor God by neglecting their children, we dishonor God by our sinful actions. When we keep this commandment and submit like this, the world won't understand it, but God will use it to glorify his name. That kind of submission is very surprising. It's very countercultural. It looks weak. It seems a bit crazy. But it looks that way to those who don't have the eyes to see it. But this submission has power behind it. It has the power of the Holy Spirit and the will of God behind it. Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 1. He says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." When we submit to our parents, when we honor our parents, we capture this posture of submission, and it carries the power of God. It is a powerful witness to the world. It really shows how the Lord can change hearts at the deepest level, especially when we've had a very painful experience with parents. It really testifies to that in a truly remarkable way. Listen to Jesus speaking in Matthew 10, which was our gospel reading today. "Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Jesus means that our primary relationship is with God. And as we heard in the first few commandments, he's the one we need to keep in his rightful place at the center of our lives. There is no other God. We love him, we serve him, we don't make images of him, we don't take his name in vain, we honor the Sabbath. When we honor our parents above ourselves, we're actually losing our lives for the sake of Christ. We're entering into holy submission, and we're in line with what Jesus teaches in Matthew 10 when he says, "Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." In the case of Commandment 5, we lose our lives by honoring our parents. We lose our lives willingly by submitting to them willingly. Not easily or perfectly or with a sugary sense of love necessarily, but willingly out of obedience to our Heavenly Father. And we honor them not as perfect parents, we honor them as God's chosen parents, the ones who brought us into the world. Through holy submission, we'll actually start to be able to see them with God's eyes. When he looks at our parents and at us, he sees his chosen people, his justified children, people who are being made holy over the course of their lives. He sees broken clay jars filled with the treasure of Christ. We honor parents as a tangible expression of our deeper love for Christ. He's the first in our lives, but he commands us to show this love by sharing it with other people. Where does it start? It starts with our primary relationships in our families, with the ones God chose to be our parents. They may have loved us imperfectly. They may have loved us carelessly, but we love them. We love them as Christ loved us. We love Christ imperfectly. We love Christ carelessly, yet he honored his Father by submitting and going to the cross for us. That act of submission speaks quietly, but very powerfully, to those in our modern age who reject submission, who reject authority, and instead choose and chase after personal freedom and autonomy. It shows a different way. This is the way of the Christian disciple. Not the easy way. This is the narrow road, remember? The narrow gate. You have to squeeze through it. You squeeze through the gate because it's an effort to do this. This stuff doesn't come naturally to us. We have to learn this in obedience to the Lord. But this way speaks truth to power. Holy submission speaks gospel truth to human power. It disarms it the same way the cross of Christ disarmed the powers of sin and death. As you think about the fifth commandment, as you try to live it, as you work to honor your parents, or even the memory of your parents, they may be long gone, remember who we are. We are in Christ, but we're in Christ as lawbreakers. We are part of fallen humanity. First of all, give thanks for the grace and the favor that God has shown you by calling you to Himself, not because of what you've done, but because He loves you. He chose you, and that's reason enough. If you struggle with the memory of a parent, ask the Lord to melt that away, take it away, and lead you to forgive a less than honorable parent. Ask the Lord to give you that burning desire to bless those who may have cursed you and to heap love on a parent who may feel more like a distant stranger or even an enemy. Take that fifth commandment to heart as God's command to you. In Paul's words in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and to prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's pray together. Lord God, please accept the worship of our hearts and the worship of our lips. Give us grace to glorify you in our lives, and we ask it for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.